Thank God for another Lord's Day. And every time you come, do please come with expectant hearts, grateful hearts. Every time we hear, it is another day of blessing, and be ever thankful that the Lord is so good to us. Remember those in far off places who have no churches to go to, or who sit under false prophets and false preachers. How sad. Thank God for enabling us, establishing this church. God bless the preaching of His word.
I greet you in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Before I begin with the sermon, I'd like to highlight a little bit about the Sunset Gospel Hour Bible Fellowship for the next quarter. As you can see, the month of October is a little different in terms of the program. We hope that the month of October will be the month where we remember God's goodness toward all of us. For through the founding of the BP movement, many of us have had our lives touched by God through the ministries of a few of God's servants 60 years ago, how the Lord had touched their hearts, how the Lord had used them to found the churches. And through these churches, including the Far Eastern Bible College, we hear the Word of God and our lives have been changed ever since. And so for the month of October, the first 3 weeks, we have invited other faithful BP churches to take charge of the evening hour of worship. So as you can see, there are three different churches in charge of the month of October for the first three Lord's Day evening, 3rd, 10th and 17th. And then it will culminate on the 24th of October, where we have invited all the faithful BP churches to come and to celebrate with us as we recall and reflect upon God's goodness, to praise and thank God together as a united voice, as a group of grateful, thankful people. We pray and hope that you would come and be an encouragement to someone as you silently, quietly, in your own heart, praise and thank the Lord for what the Lord has done in your life. Because of the obedience of a few, so many of us have been blessed. But the battle continues on. It is not the end. The end is when the Lord Jesus Christ returns. And as long as there is a battle to be fought, we need like-minded men. And thank God for men like Paul, men like Timothy. Because our lives on earth are not forever. We all have a date of birth and a date of death. And while we sojourn on this earth, you and I will do certain things. And as far as the world is concerned, they also look for men of like-minded perspectives, visions, dreams, goals as they have. In the running of our country, you need like-minded leaders that they will continue on what the predecessors have started. In companies, large, multi-billion-dollar companies, you look for leaders, chief executive officers of the same kind of mind as the predecessors, perhaps even more, even greater, that companies may grow from strength to strength, that it will exist, as far as they are concerned, hopefully forever. When Paul speaks of looking for someone who is like-minded, he was not comparing himself. He was not saying, be like Paul. Even though in instances he did say, be ye followers of me as I follow Christ. So he was not looking for someone who was more like Paul himself. even though Paul patterned his life after Christ. But his like-mindedness, unlike that of the world where everything is subjective, that they have no absolutes, the like-mindedness must be compared with that of Christ. And that's where we have in Philippians 2, right from the very beginning, Paul's argument was for us to have the mind of Christ. And so when he used the phrase, like-minded men, a man who was like-minded compared to whom? Whose mind? It has to be the mind of Christ. Therefore, it will be the mind of God. Look for men and women and young people who has the mind of Christ, who will think only of how to exalt and magnify Christ. We are not talking about any earth-based or earth-bound or earthly body or government or organization. We're talking about the family of God. We're talking about men and women and children's souls that can end up in hell or in heaven. And if you do not get someone who has the mind of Christ to look after God's flock, all the many years, and for the BP movement, 60 years, could go down the drain. As you can see, many movements in the past that have been founded based upon the same kind of foundation as the BP movement was founded upon. And they are now victims. And they are now just another used up movement. No more contending for the faith. It is just existing on its own without any moral significance. They are dead. They may be in existence, but it's only a shell. And if they continue to exist and in the form of external godliness without any heart, any soul, they do more harm than good. We pray that this will not happen to Calvary Pandan. We pray that this will not happen to you. Because Calvary Pandan BP Church is not a building. It's not 201 Pandan Gardens. This piece of property can disappear. It is not this building or this property that is meaningful. It's the people. It's you. And like-mindedness has to be compared to that of Christ. And so the question this morning is, do you have the mind of Christ in the way that you live? In the way that you look at this church? Do you have any care and concern for the well-being of this church? That if the Lord were to tarry for another few more decades, most of us will not be around anymore. We all know that. That's the way of life. But will it remain faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ so that our sons and our sons' sons may come to church week after week, knowing that they will have the Word of God properly ministered to them? That they know when they truly die, they will be in heaven. That their faith will be based upon God's firm truth, perfect, inerrant, infallible, divinely inspired and preserved through the ages for God's people. That is why Paul was very, very concerned that he would not just simply send anyone to minister to the church in Philippi. He was in prison. He could not come. As you can read from verse 24, that he wished he could come. He hoped he could come. And he wanted to come very much to be with his spiritual children whom he loved very dearly. That he was prepared to do anything for them, but he could not. And so he had to send someone to take his place, and he could not just simply send anyone he liked, even though he might have many in the past who had served with him, who had been with him, but not every one of them was dependable. Hymenaeus, Alexander, who had been with him, but they loved the world and they deserted the Apostle Paul. It can happen to any one of us. Appear so good and so nice at the beginning. But some years down the road, will you remain faithful and true to the Lord Jesus Christ? Paul had known Timothy for about 10 to 13 years. Because Timothy was first introduced to him in Acts 16 verse 1. He was half Jew, the mother, the grandmother were Jews. But his father was a Greek, a Gentile. And so before he took him on, he insisted that Timothy be circumcised so that his life would not be a stumbling block to the many Jews that Paul and all his assistants will be ministering to. That was the first introduction, and that would be the beginning of Paul's second missionary journey, or during his second missionary journey. During this time, it was about maybe 52 AD. When Paul was in prison at this time, it was about 62 AD. And so, plus or minus a few years, because we cannot be exactly sure when he started his second missionary trip. And so it would be about 10 years or so. Timothy was no stranger to work with someone for 10 years. Everywhere he went, Timothy was there. Timothy went with him and endured some of his persecution, some of the difficulties. Timothy did not flinch. He was true. Such individuals Paul could trust. And so now he was about to entrust the souls and the lives of men, women and children in the church of Philippi into the hands of Timothy, a man like-minded. You know how hard that is to do? We're not talking about a company. A company is only about money, dollars and cents. Dollars and cents are dead things. We're not talking about a nation. We're talking about eternity, heaven and hell. Do you know what that means? Every one of us today, the moment you are born, you are eternal. Our life on earth is not eternal, but our existence is eternal. Our life on earth is temporal, it's short, it has a limit. How long we have, only the Lord knows. But what we have as Christians, we have to serve the Lord. We have a responsibility to make sure that what we have enjoyed and experienced in terms of spiritual blessings and benefits must be maintained, if not improved upon, so that when we pass away, we leave behind exactly the same, if not better, for our sons and our daughters. Because anything less would be a failure on our part. We cannot be so selfish and self-centered. The world speaks of the green world to save Mother Earth, so that their children may have the earth to exist in, to live in, with some semblance of comfort and health. That's the world. They think that this world is all they have. That's why they call it Mother Earth. We know this world will be destroyed, but that does not mean that our lives on earth are meaningless. What you do right now for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ in His name, constrained by His love, will last for eternity. And what you do this life, in this life right now, can impact the lives of others also for eternity. That's why this life is so precious. That's why we cannot just live any way we like, without any care or consideration, aim or purpose or significance. That's why Paul had to send someone whom he could trust, someone whom he could depend upon, that this church in Philippi will not die a spiritual death. You go to Philippi today, you do not find such a church. It's gone. Somewhere along the line, there was a pastor or a group of leaders who failed the Lord. And from that point onwards, the church will die. And the church today is dead, gone, it's dead, no more. You go there, what you see will probably be just simply some broken down stones if they want to retain them for tourists, to get some tourist money out of it. Because Christians would like to go there and trace the missionary trips of the apostles. And so they go to all the churches that the apostle Paul founded that you find in the scriptures, and so they make money out of it. But are there people there? No more. Will this also be true of this church? For the month of October, November and December, we pray and hope that it will stir within the hearts of some young people, that they will not forget their heritage, that they will not forget how the BP movement was founded, where lives have been surrendered to the Lord. Faithful men, like-minded men, like-minded with the mind of Christ in their hearts. They fought. Many of them have been called home to glory. The fight must continue on. And therefore, what kind of men was Timothy? that Paul used this wonderful term to describe him in verse 20. No man like-minded, absolutely no one. He was such a rare individual, was Timothy. So hard to find such an individual to entrust the lives and the souls of men, women and children. But that's what we do, you know that? At all levels in the church ministry. What do you think the Sunday school teachers are doing now? You have just entrusted the souls of your sons and daughters to them. As they instruct God's word to them. You can trust them. When you send your teens to the teen teachers will answer to God as to how they have fed your children. The YFers, the YAFers, and the adults the same. No difference. Every committee member, every president in charge of the committee, you have a mini church, as it were. But this like-mindedness is for you as well. It's not just only for the leaders of the church as a whole. It includes them definitely. The difference is one is a bigger congregation, the other one is just a smaller group. But the same trait, the same principle, the same attributes must apply. And if you want to compare it with the home situation, it's also an applicable attribute to that of fathers and mothers. Because that's exactly what your daughters and your sons will learn. How to be Christian husbands. Christian husbands, Christian wives, Christian fathers, Christian mothers. Where do you think they're going to learn it from? They're going to learn it from you. And if you do not have the mind of Christ, what other mind is there for you to have? If it is not the mind of Christ, pray tell. No other mind other than the mind of the world, you know that? There is no other mind. The mind of the world is self-centered. It will be you. Or you listen to some other voices from the world. But it is still of the world. There are only two kinds of minds. If it is not the mind of Christ, and you are a Christian, ask yourself, how can that be? How can I, as a Christian, not have the mind of Christ? So what exactly are the attributes that Timothy had, whereby Paul would call him no man like him. In my life's experience, Paul says, no man like him. Timothy was special. A number of times he calls him my son. It was not because he had a personal subjective liking for Timothy that he wanted to promote Timothy in this manner. You know better than that. The Apostle Paul will never do something so sinful and wicked. He was not practicing spiritual nepotism. Please don't ever think that way about the Apostle Paul. He had the best interest of the Christians in Philippi at heart. And he loved them more than his own life. You think he would just simply send someone who is not worthy to care for the people, the Christians in the church in Philippi? He will never do that. So the first attribute that we can see in the life of this young man, Timothy, you find this in verse 19 to verse 21. Verse 19 to 21 says this, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state, for all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." So the first thing we note about Timothy is that he was a true shepherd, isn't it? Because Paul says in verse 21, "For all seek their own." Now the word "seek" is a very strong word. It is the word for craving. There are many of us who crave continuously, constantly for our own. Our own what, you may ask? Well, our own interests, our own comforts. Very rarely do you find people who would sacrifice their own for the sake of others, whereby they truly, truly are prepared to inconvenience themselves. And they will not serve God out of the crumbs that falls off from the table. That will be their time. Well, if I have the time. Timothy was not like that. He was constantly aware of how his life must bring blessings to others. He did not serve God out of his own convenience. Many of us do. Paul did not use many, he says all. That's frightening, isn't it? All crave to seek their own. We make sure that our own families come first before we serve the Lord. We make sure that my job, my profession comes first before we serve the Lord. We make sure that my time for my own things come first before we serve the Lord. There were so few, if any, other than Timothy, where Paul could honestly say that he cares for the interests of others. You know how hard to find someone like that? Where he will do anything to make sure that the name of Christ will never be tarnished by the way that he speaks, by the way that he lives, by the way that he serves. And so Paul says, I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy. As soon as possible unto you, for what purpose? That I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. You see, Paul was far away from them. Philippi and Rome, they were many, many weeks apart in terms of their old-fashioned way of transportation. So he could not be there. There were no telephone call. There was no communication other than when they sent Epaphroditus, who traveled long distances to search out for the Apostle Paul in the city of Rome, which is reputed to have about 1 million people at the time. And then he found him. And then after that, you communicated with him and you have to spend many days, and then subsequently you have to send him back. You know how long it takes just to send one letter or one piece of information and then go back again with a response? Months would have come and gone. So Paul says, I send Timothy, the Lord will send him as soon as possible so that I may experience. The word know there, remember, experiential knowledge, cognitive knowledge, because Paul cares for them very much, that I may know your condition. Whether you are still standing firm and true to the Lord Jesus Christ, because earlier he did mention that in my presence I know you will obey the word of God. But he challenged them, even more so in my absence, you must obey the word of God, because you must be convicted by the truth that is in scriptures, not because of your love for me that you obey. He did not want that to happen because he understands how fragile the faith of people are. And he understands very, very well the strength of the temptations and the power and the potency of the temptations that are in the world. So easy for us to stumble and fall. He understood that. And that's why he says, when God sent Timothy in God's time, so that I may have experiential knowledge, that I may have good comfort, good in my spirit, in my soul, knowing that you are well in the Lord, that your soul is fine in the Lord. That was his grave care and concern. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally, the word natural means genuinely care. Care means take thought, seek your interests first and always. He was prepared to die for you. He will study and make sure that the word of God is taught. That's the only way to care, do you know that? As a true shepherd, feeding the people with the word of God is the way that you show care. Because you want them to have the mind of Christ. Then the only way they can have the mind of Christ is to be good teachers and preachers of God's word. No other way. And that's why in all our ministries, the word of God must be paramount. If it is not the word of God, what else can we give? The church is not a place for you to learn baking, cooking, sewing, line dancing, and all kinds of social activities. You may have some of them, but these are only incidentals. Please understand, We know that some mothers, they come together and then they have Christian fellowship where they learn how to bake or cook so that when they go back home, they can bake and cook for their families. By all means. But these are only secondaries. Don't ever forget that. The Christian must always have a love for God's truth and God's word, because that's the milk and meat to their hungry soul. That is one of the key evidences of one who is truly born again, because he has a love for God's food, the Bible, to show that he is spiritually alive, a thirst and a hunger for righteousness and for God's truth. Remember how a dead person is not interested in eating and drinking in this physical world? Likewise, in the spiritual realm, you have no interest in the Word of God. You have no desire to understand the Word of God. What does that say about your spiritual life? How can someone who is spiritually alive not interested in eating food, spiritual food? And the only spiritual food would be the Word of God. The desire that you must have is to be among Christians. These are some of the evidences. And Timothy, you must instill this. And to do that, you must be one yourself. A true shepherd. But he will be prepared to die for the flock. But he will prepare to do anything for the flock, to go to prison for the flock. He will never take advantage of the flock. Do you know that there are some pastors who dare to stand from the pulpit? I'm not talking about non-BP pastors. We're talking about our own BP ministers. This BP minister had a camp speaker from another BP church. And this camp speaker preached very fierce messages. And you know, as at the last day of their camp, they will have testimony time. And so the pastor gave the first testimony. And then he said, if I were to preach this kind of hard messages, my rice bowl will be broken. That's why I don't preach this kind of hard messages. I preach messages that you all like. BP minister, pick and choose from the Word of God to protect his so-called rice bowl. You want this kind of pastor? He should be shot. But the problem was they re-elected him. How? So the congregation, the pastor, they're all of the same. Same kind of like-mindedness. In the bad sense, this like-minded is Christ. Next year is our election. Elect properly. Make sure every one of them is according to Holy Scriptures. Because souls of men, women and children will be placed in their care. And you now will be given a part to play in making that choice. If you choose wrongly, you answer to God. Do your homework, please. Don't just vote blindly. We are not playing games. This is not a game. Eternity in hell, and then ultimately the lake of fire, is a terrible, terrible place where there is intense pain, intense gnashing of teeth, forever and ever and ever. It's not a game. Dollars and cents you lose, you can make back. How do you say sorry to someone who has been sent to hell by Jesus Christ because of his sin and because of our failures? That's what is at stake. That's why Paul was very careful whom he can say, no man like-minded like Timothy. He will take care of your interests all the time. Very few, very hard to find such individual, because all of us crave for our own. But not Timothy. He will care for the things which are Christ. Jesus Christ. Not a yes man, you know. Like-minded does not mean a yes man. He is someone who will have the courage and the strength to do what is right according to Holy Scriptures. Because his care is Jesus Christ. His first and last loyalty is always Jesus Christ. Not a yes man. He must always be able to show from the Scripture why he speaks in this way and why he says this is the right way to do things according to Holy Scriptures. That means when the congregation is in sin, He will rebuke. When the congregation is hurt, He will comfort. He will nurture. He will admonish. He will feed. He will protect. He will do anything to make sure that the flock will grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what it means. Who will genuinely care for your state because He cares for the things of Christ. And what does Christ want the best for His children? For those whom He died for with His precious blood? That they will be like Him, isn't it? Because that is exactly what maturity is, to become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ in our thinking, in our speech, in our living. And in order to do that, you need to have men and women and leaders who know the mind of Christ, who have the mind of Christ, because if they do not have the mind of Christ, do not know the mind of Christ, how can they teach you and guide you toward the mind of Christ? Second attribute, verse 22. He must be a tested servant. When first you have a true shepherd, the second, he must be a tested servant. Look at verse 22. But ye know, this is experiential knowledge. He is now reminding the Christians in Philippi, a church that was founded also during the second mission trip. But Timothy was also present. For ye know, you have experiential knowledge. The proof, that is the test of Timothy, that as a son with a father, he has served, the word served there is a slave, with me in the gospel. You have witnessed, you have experienced that he had been a tested servant. He had worked with me. He had endured all the trials and all the testings. He did not run away. He did not turn tail. He did not chicken out. He was there every step of the way. Not only must he be true, he must also be tested. So time will tell, isn't it? How much time is needed? As long as is needed, isn't it? To make sure that this person is not just hot air, only words. But he must have strength and courage. Not the physical, muscle-bulging kind of strength, but the inner strength and courage whereby in the face of the worst enemy, whatever threats that may be hurled at him, he will not betray Christ and cause the flock to suffer. They can take his life, they can take his freedom, they can even take his family, but he will not betray Christ. That means he will not betray you. Tested servant, tested slave, endured all kinds of pain and suffering and inconveniences. Not the kind who will murmur, cry and complain at the slightest inconvenience. Oh, the accommodation is no good. Oh, how come it's so dusty? Oh, how come it's so hot? How come it's so smoky? Oh, I cannot breathe. A little bit of inconvenience, murmur, complain. Don't you know that you're serving the King of Kings? And if the King of Kings desire you to go through this kind of route, you think he has made a mistake? You mean mission trip must always be in air-conditioned rooms and all sorts of comforts? We're not saying that you make yourself as uncomfortable as possible. But regardless of the externals, the circumstances that we are in, we have to stand and pass the test. That's why Paul used the word slave to describe him. A slave is someone who has no rights of his own. He just serves his master, and the master is the Lord Jesus Christ, without daring to even murmur a word of complaint. Whatever the master's desire, he will just simply do. And as you know from the Bible, there are many kinds of slaves, but there are only one kind that God will love us to be, and that is the willing slave. In the Old Testament, the other kind who will have to pierce their ear. Tell the master that I love to be your slave because you are a wonderful master. I don't want to leave you. I want to be your slave for life. And so he will be led to the leaders, to the priests, and he will have his ears pierced as a sign that he will be a slave to this wonderful master for life. And this is what we are to Christ. Is he not a wonderful master? You think he makes mistakes? Is he not sovereign and all-powerful? Did he not tell us in the Great Commission that all power had been given unto him in heaven and in earth? Did He not promise us that He will be with us always? And so therefore, if we go through a rough patch in our service for the Lord, it did not come from man. There are no accidents in the servant of God's life. Our Heavenly Father, our Master, the Lord Jesus Christ, He knows best. And if He allow us to go through this difficult route in order to test our faith and the sincerity of our faith and our service for Him, so be it. Please don't equate just because you serve the Lord, your life will be rosy without thorns. That God will supernaturally protect you whereby you can never suffer loss or shame. That kind of unbiblical thinking must be erased. All those who serve the Lord must be prepared to suffer for the Lord, because this world is a world of wickedness, a world who is against Christ. And if you become more and more like Christ, just as they have abused and persecuted Christ and crucified Him, they will do the same to you and to anyone who is like Christ, who has the mind of Christ. You've got to be prepared. But you rest assured that the Lord Jesus Christ will never allow you to be tempted above that which you are able to bear. And with every temptation, He will make a way of escape so that you will be able to bear under it. He gave us that promise in 1 Corinthians 10:13. Because He loves you. Remember when you were His enemies, when you don't even know Him? He loved you so much that He died on the cross for you. Now that you are His son and His daughter, you think He will fail you now? We need to have this kind of experience, tested servanthood. And if you keep on hiding, running away and not serving, you will never be tested. You're not talking about just in the church, in the home, in schools, in your workplace. You stand up for Christ and you will be tested. But the Lord will always be there for you, and you will experience how real He is to you. And before the Lord sent Timothy, before Paul sent Timothy, Timothy has to be tried and tested, and he was. And he told the Christians in Philippi, you all know. You know experience, you have witnessed, you have seen, you have heard. You have communicated, and you might even have spoken with Him. You know Him. He has been tested. The third attribute you find in verse 23 and 24. True shepherd, tested servant, and now a trusted ambassador. Another T. True, tested, trusted. Wonderful words, don't you agree? If only we all have these characteristics. True, tested, trusted. A trusted ambassador, Him therefore I hope to send presently. Presently means instantly, as soon as possible. Because He did not want the church in Philippi to be without a shepherd. So soon as I shall see how it will go with me. It appears as if the Apostle Paul might sound a little selfish, isn't it? As soon as I shall see how it will go with me. You think he meant it that way? Of course not. Remember, the Apostle Paul had also started his own ministry while he was in prison. Timothy was there with him, by his side, perhaps visiting him. As long as it goes well with me, or as soon as, it means as long as the ministry there stable enough whereby he can do without Timothy. He was not talking about his own physical needs or physical comfort or personal agenda. None of these things. In verse 19, he talks about Jesus Christ sending him. In this verse, he was talking about he, Paul, also would send Timothy. He would send Timothy as long as it is God's will for Timothy to go. He cannot sacrifice one ministry in order to bless another ministry. He had to make sure that no ministry will be jeopardized because of another. He understood this. He knew that Timothy was a trusted ambassador. He will send him and he can trust him, but he must make sure that it is within God's timing. And he himself testified in verse 24, but I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. I committed myself to the Lord. I'm not sure whether I will be released from prison, but if I ever were released from prison, I would also love to come to be with you. Do you know how wonderful it is to be amongst Christian brothers and sisters who have the same mind as the Apostle Paul, the same mind as you, have the same love, the same care, and the same concern, where you are in a room full of people who are transparent, who love the Lord Jesus Christ, where there is no hidden agenda, there is no facade, no falsity, no falsehood. That you can open your heart and you can share your strength, your weakness, your struggles in the walk with the Lord. And you know that this person will not betray your trust. Paul had that special relationship with the Christians in Philippi. And that's why he told them, Timothy was a trusted ambassador. I will send him, the Lord Jesus will send him at the right time. When everything else is ready, when the ministry here is also ready, he will send Timothy as soon as possible to make sure that you are well looked after. That he may know, that as Paul may know, that the souls and the lives and the walk of faith of the Christians in Philippi have not been put in jeopardy. Because he understood that every flock of sheep requires a godly shepherd. And Paul was their shepherd, but he could not be there, and he did not know how long he had left on this earth. He will be released from prison after this, but very soon after that he will be arrested again. And then in a few years' time, he would die. Called home by God, his work would be done. And he wrote his final epistle, you know to whom? To Timothy. Timothy was already a pastor, but not in the church in Philippi, but the church in Ephesus. Timothy was intimidated, perhaps by some of the elders there, and he had a difficult time, and so Paul encouraged him, writing to him two epistles, so that Timothy would not forget his ordination as pastor, his calling as pastor, that he may persevere to the very end. What happened to him? We do not know. Because by the time when the Apostle John wrote his epistle in the book of Revelation, remember the seven churches? The first on the list was the church in Ephesus. Apparently Timothy was not there anymore. Perhaps the Lord has also called him to glory. Because that would be in the 90s, mid-90s. If Timothy took over the church in the 60s, mid-60s, of the church in Ephesus, that means he would be there for about 20, 30 years. And by the time John wrote that epistle, Timothy was not there. If he had been there in the church in Ephesus, I'm sure John would have saluted him, greeted him. Timothy was a man like-minded, with the mind of Christ. The Apostle Paul could trust with his life, more so with the lives of men, women and children entrusted to him, that he could hand over and know that Timothy would never betray and fail them. Because he was a true shepherd, he was a tested servant of the Lord, and he was a trusted ambassador, that Paul could truly depend upon him. Such people are very hard to find in our lives. But more so, would you be that person, a man like-minded to others? Because this is exactly what God expects of everyone who calls himself a Christian. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts, O Lord, out of thy holy word, for we acknowledge that we live in very perilous times, so much to do with so little time. And yet, Heavenly Father, we know that our lives are in your hands, your loving hand. Help us, O Lord, as thy blood-bought children, to take stock of how we have lived, how we have served. If we have failed thee, O Lord, forgive us. Renew our love and our zeal and our fervency for Thee, that we may all have the mind of Christ. That even as we serve the King of Kings in these last days, may we not fail Thee, but that we may remember the high cost of failing. Men, women, and children whose souls without Christ, and if they were to die in their sins, will be lost in hell for all eternity. Raise up in our midst, O Lord, men and women of like-minded faith, heart, devotion that we find in Paul, in Timothy. May it be found in us too, O Lord. Help us, for we ask all these things with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen.